If you'd like to keep your Bibles open, let's pray, and then I will talk about this. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the message of hope that we have for the world. Thank you that you sent Jesus to be our Saviour. Now, Father, open our hearts and minds and help us to hear you, to be challenged and to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. It was once said that we are such insignificant creatures on a minor planet of a very average star in an outer suburb of one of 100,000 galaxies. So it's difficult to believe in a God that would care about us or even notice our existence. Those are the words of the well-known cosmologist Stephen Hawking, who typically imagine God, should he exist, as remote and passive and looking on the outside and saying, I really can't be bothered. The good news is of the Christian faith, in contrast to that, is that today's passage and today completely blows that out the water and says it's all about Emmanuel, God with us, despite the fact that we live on an average planet, a minor planet in an average star system. We have a God who cares, who has come today. We know the Christmas story well, and it's so familiar. A virgin gets pregnant, an angel appears to a man who is supposed to be her husband and claims that God, the Holy Spirit, has brought about the conception. It's a familiar story, but it's also incredible and unbelievable as well. Because when you analyze it, as a number of people have. And one famous clergyman, an ex-bishop, said this once, I very much doubt if God could arrange a virgin birth. However, we can understand why they say that, because it's a preposterous story, unless it's true. Unless, actually, it isn't preposterous, and God can do that. What I'm getting at is the idea of a woman giving birth supernaturally is preposterous. As long as you have a worldview which doesn't include God, because it doesn't fit with our understanding of biology and science. But if the story we described here is true, then there is a God who is an all-powerful creator. And he can not only make a supernatural birth possible, it is the best possible news for us we could ever imagine. That is what the good news of Jesus is all about. God created the world and it was good. We sinned and the world became a very broken place and one that we cannot fix. But now God has taken decisive action through the birth of Jesus. God's supernatural action was to deal with the problems of the world and the problems of our relationship with God. How did he do that? Well, he did that by coming in person. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's one of Jesus' names, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what the Bible says, and this is the stunning factor. So Jesus was born, and he was nothing more or nothing less than God coming here to us. God's plan was to actually go into the mess of the world. He didn't condemn it. He didn't write it off. He didn't destroy it, he entered it, purely and simply. That's what's meant by the incarnation. It means God moved in. He came in flesh and he moved into the world. He isn't distant, he came into our humanity, into our vulnerability, into our history, and wants to be part of our reality. There's a story of four climbers, two Italians and two Germans, who were climbing the Eiger in the Swiss Alps. The two German climbers disappeared and were never heard of again. The two Italian climbers were exhausted, dying, and stuck on a narrow ledge 1,000 feet below the summit. The Swiss Alpine Rescue Club forbade any rescue attempt. It was too dangerous. But a small group of people decided that they would launch a private rescue. So they carefully lowered a climber 6,000 feet down the north face of the Eiger. They suspended him on a cable with a fraction of an inch thick into an abyss, not knowing what they would find. This is how the individual described the rescue, which he did rescue them. He said, "As I was lowered down the summit, my comrades on the top grew further and further distant until they disappeared from sight. At this moment, I felt indescribably alone. And for the first time, I peered down the abyss of the north face of the Eiger. The terror of the sight robbed me of breath. The brooding blackness of the face falling away into almost endless expanse beneath me. It made me look with an awful longing to the thin cable which held me. I was a tiny human dangling between the space between heaven and hell. And the sole relief of my terror was my mission was to save the climbers below." That is the heart of the Christmas story. We are trapped, whether we know it or not, because we are separated from God. But in person, in the presence of Jesus, God lowers himself into the abyss of our sin, into this world, into the suffering. And Jesus became that tiny human dangling between heaven and hell. He did that to save the people trapped, you and me. He did that to be our only way out. So, the gospel, the story of Jesus, is more radical than just another religion telling us that we can be better by our own power and doing our own stuff. It tells us of a story of God's risky, costly sacrifice rescue on our behalf. This is the great news of Christmas. Because God entered the brokenness of the world for me and you. God with us. And why did he need to come? Well, it says in verse 21, "You will give him the name Jesus because he will save the people from their sins." We have all sinned. We have all disappointed God. And there is a gap between us and God which we cannot close. The only person who can close the gap is him. And that is what Emmanuel, God with us, came for. Somebody to be in our mess, to be in our world, to lift us out and give us eternal life. We were made for relationship with God. We are created in his image. And one day we will meet him face to face, whether we believe in him or not. And at that point in time, the only question that will be asked of us all is not, what did we do with our life and how successful were we? But it was, did you know my son, Emmanuel, God with us? This Christmas, like every Christmas, like every day, we are offered a choice. Do we believe and trust in that human who was born in a manger, who will become the man on the cross, who will then rise so that we can be made right with God? The angel said, he will save his people from their sins. I wonder, can you confidently put your name in the word, his people? Has Jesus come to save your sins? The answer is yes. But have you said yes in response? I want you to do it. He came down in love for our sake, for mine and for yours. He entered our mess. He knows our lives. He knows the things that we have done and will do. But he's here to rescue and bring us good new life. That is the good news. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not about the presents and the turkey and the spending time together, however wonderful that is. And it is wonderful. I'm really looking forward to dinner today, particularly as I don't have to cook it. But the best thing is, Christmas is about Emmanuel, God with us, a gift which we are offered that will not break and will not decay and will not devalue, but will give you everlasting life because you were made for eternity, but only because of Jesus. So what are you going to do this Christmas? Are you going to recognize God with us, the baby in the manger, and say, yes, Lord? Or are we going to ignore him and carry on our lives in our mess? The choice is ours. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent Jesus into the mess of the world, not to condemn it, not to destroy it, but to save it. Help us to live a life worthy of that. Help us that know him as our Lord and Savior to follow him every day. And help us who don't know him come to find him so we can say, Lord, Lord, and he will save us from our sins. Help us to seek and to find. We ask this in Jesus' name.